greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Codex Magica when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself, and everything the government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you and your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it does not protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. And that's because this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how this information is being gathered, and what information is being stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or by your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour program. It's entertaining, informative, it's educational, and it's free. Just call us here at the school and ask for it. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, Codex Magica by Tex Mars. You can probably get a copy at Barnes & Noble. It's 8.5 by 11, 600 pages, 1,000 photographs of some of the biggest names that we know of. Names like Robert Schuller, the preacher that runs this big cathedral down Los Angeles called the Glass Cathedral, or the Crystal Cathedral. There's a picture of him with Mikhail Gorbachev. That's right, Mikhail Gorbachev spoke at the Crystal Cathedral. The Crystal Cathedral's Reverend Robert Schuller, 33rd degree Mason, shares a clearly Masonic handshake with former Soviet Communist Party boss Mikhail Gorbachev. Gorbachev, an initiate of the Grand Orient Lodge, Paris, France, spoke at Schuller's church. So guess who's coming to church? Mikhail Gorbachev. On Sunday, October the 22nd, 2000. What a pair to draw to. In Richardson's Monitor of Freemasonry, there's an authoritative reference source book, and we're told that in the ritual for the Masonic degree of Most Excellent Master of the Royal Arch Mason, all present are required to give a sign of admiration or astonishment. It is explained that this sign is similar to that gesture expressed by the illustrious Queen of Sheba on her first viewing the fabulous edifice of Solomon's Temple. In Duncan's Masonic Monitor and Guide, the group present for that same degree ceremony is further told that this sign alludes to the wonder and admiration of our ancient brethren who were present to view the interior of that magnificent edifice, Solomon's Temple, which King Solomon had erected and was about to dedicate to the service of the Supreme Being. The arms raised with the palms of the hands facing forward is a supplicatory gesture meaning passive acceptance, surrender, or an appeal for mercy. Caesar, in his Gallic Wars, noted the use of this sign by Gallic women who apparently were signaling subjection to or acceptance of their Roman conquerors. A single hand raised with palm outward represents a hand to heaven acknowledging the gifts or help received from extraterrestrial sources. It can also mean invocation and calling down of powers or energy from the heavens or from ethereal sources. Yet, another meaning is that the hand with all five fingers showing palm outward indicates that one is giving honor and admiration to the underworld deity. Its essential meaning, thank you, O subterranean Lord, for your deceptive wisdom and for your cunning aid in our struggle to overcome our enemies and to effect the great work. Do you remember Adolf Hitler? What was the sign that Hitler was always giving to the people? He would hold up his right hand with his palm forward. That's a salute. Now, we call that the Nazi salute. No, it isn't. That goes back to ancient Egypt. Goes back to the Babylonians, Assyrians. It's ancient in nature. And it is a salute to Satan. And Adolf Hitler was an occultist. Adolf Hitler practiced witchcraft. Going on, as we shall see in this chapter of Codex Magica, this sign has been displayed in public media by presidents, presidential candidates, prime ministers, and many other VIPs, very important persons, throughout history, including the Emperor of France, the Freemason Napoleon Bonaparte. Now, Clinton, the devil president of the United States. President Bill Clinton was named Time Magazine Man of the Year in 1993, and on the Time cover making the announcement, President Clinton's head was pictured with the M in the Time masthead of the magazine stretched and appearing to be two horns on Clinton's head. Were the magazine's editors telling us that Clinton is the devil's man, or was it some strange coincidence? Even more weird and dramatic, inside that same issue was a photo of Bill Clinton in the Oval Office, holding his hands and arms in the Masonic display of the sign of admiration. Now get this. Carved on the president's desk in the Oval Office, directly in front of Clinton, is the eagle in the presidential seal or logo, with its face turned to the left. But on the carpet just in front of the desk, we find the presidential seal facing toward the right. Two eagles, each facing in the opposite direction. Now, this is clearly the double-headed eagle of Freemasonry. It is a symbol recognizing and representing the serpent, honored as the sun god in the mystery religions with its eagle-like all-seeing eye, in other words, Lucifer, solar god of Bill Clinton and the Illuminati. Now, meanwhile, in Clinton's left hand is a rose, a sign of the Illuminati's blood covenant and the Rosicrucian order. And you'll also find here a photo of former Yugoslav Serb leader Slobodan Milosevic, likewise holding a rose in his hand, the right hand. In Satanism, the left-handed path is the most magical and powerful, but it is the more evil. Clinton, who is left-handed, is still today recognized by the world as a great leader. Milosevic, who is right-handed, is in disgrace in a prison cell after being felled by Clinton and his Illuminati cohorts, proving that it's not nice to attempt to double-cross your Illuminati overlords, Mr. Milosevic. In this chapter, you will find not only Bill Clinton, Slobodan Milosevic, John Kerry, and others giving enigmatic ritual messages, but also we will examine other signs in which the Illuminati signal with the arms and either or both hands. There's one called the Grand Hailing Sign of Distress, one of the classic Masonic poses, duplicated by or similar to that employed in many other orders, is called the Grand Hailing Sign of Distress. Theoretically, this is used in extreme circumstances in which a Mason or other elitist finds himself in a crisis or in a bind. In such an emergency, he gives the Grand Hailing Sign. It's the Grand Hailing Sign of Distress, sometimes called the High Sign. At that point, brethren who recognize the secret sign of alarm are expected to come to his rescue. Comically, mass murderer Charles Manson was observed giving this sign and a number of others during his trial for conspiracy to commit murder. Reportedly, Manson believed the judge in this case was a 33rd degree Mason and would rescue him. It was all to no avail. Likewise, Mormon church founder Joseph Smith gave this sign while under siege of a lynch mob at the Nauvoo, Illinois jail where he had been incarcerated. Smith knew that the angry mob was comprised mainly of Freemasons because he, too, had been one of them until he was excommunicated. The Masons didn't take too kindly to Masonic brother Smith stealing their symbols and ceremonies and incorporating them into his Mormon LDS church rituals. And to this day, the Mormon church rituals copy these signs, the Masonic signs. Now, they don't call themselves Masonic, but they practice Masonry, and they practice the Masonic signs within their own rituals within their church, and that comes from their founder, Smith. Now, as Joe Smith lay dying on the jailhouse floor, he cried out, "Is there no help for a widow's son?" This is the enigmatic saying taught Masons, stamping Smith as a follower of the great goddess, patroness of the Masonic fraternity. The Bible in Revelation 17 refers to her as Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. John J. Robinson, author of a celebrated book called Born in Blood, Defending Freemasonry and Blasting Its Critics, also referenced the Grand Hailing Sign of Distress taught in the third degree ritual. After brief ceremonies, the blindfold is removed and the newly sworn Master Mason is taught several secrets of that degree. He learns the penal sign, the hand signal, based on the penalty of the Master Mason's oath, which is to pass the hand in a slashing motion, palm downward, and thumb toward the body, across his stomach. The dugard of the Master Mason repeats the position of his hands on the Holy Bible and the compass and square as he takes his oath, with his upper arms along his sides, forearms out straight, with palms down. Now, to this point, the ceremony is much like that of the first two degrees, but now is added a third sign. It is the Grand Hailing Sign of Distress of the Master Mason, given with the upper arms parallel to the ground, forearms vertical with hands above the head, palms forward, for those times when the Master Mason is out of sight of possible help or in the dark, he is taught to summon assistance with the word, "O Lord, my God, is there no help for the son of the widow?" Now, a reference to Hiram, legendary master craftsman at the building of the Temple of Solomon, about whom the initiate has yet been told nothing, and whom Masons identify with the metalworker that Scripture described as a son of a widow of Naphtali. Note here that Robinson makes mention of the penal sign, the hand sign, based on the penalty of the Master Mason's oath. Well, in Codex Magica, you will see several examples of this signal, including a photo of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin and one of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. And in his book, Freemasonry, Jack Harris, a former Master Mason who renounced the order after converting to Christianity, quotes at length the ritual according to the State of Maryland's Masonic Manual. And that manual assures the Mason that at his death, if his good works are sufficient, a kind messenger from the Supreme Grand Master will be sent to translate to that all-perfect, glorious, and celestial lodge above, where the Supreme Architect of the universe presides. And according to Harris, the ritual continues as follows. All officers and members bow toward the east. The master wraps the lodge down, and also explain to the brother in the third degree lecture is what he is to do in times of peril or danger. And he is instructed, if he can be seen, to throw up both arms over his head and let them fall by three distinct motions. This is called the great hailing sign or sign of distress, and never should be given except in a lodge for instruction, or if his life is in danger. Now, if a Mason sees this sign, he is to flee to his rescue if there is more probability of saving the brother's life than of losing his own. At times, when this sign could not be seen, such as in the dark, a spoken signal is substituted. O Lord, my God, is there no help for the widow's son? A Mason hearing these words would be equally bound to flee to the other brother's rescue if there were more probability of saving his life than of losing his own. Now, there are many, many of these signs depicted here in Codex Magica. Newly elected President Bill Clinton, for instance, holds out his arms in the Masonic gesture of admiration and astonishment. Was it just his joy at becoming president, or was Clinton paying homage to the entity represented by the combined double-headed eagle carved on the front of the wood desk and imprinted in the Great Seal logo on the carpet in front of the desk? And here's another picture of Slobodan Milosevic, president of Serbia, holds a rose aloft in his right hand, signifying that he is an initiate of the Rosicrucian order. Milosevic failed to carry out the wishes of the Illuminati to the letter, therefore, in this same issue of Time, he was called the Butcher of the Balkans and the High Priest of Ethnic Cleansing. Later, Milosevic was arrested, thrown in prison, and tried by an international court for supposed crimes against humanity. So there's the story on the Grand Hailing Sign. Now, there's more to the story. Listen to this. I gruesomely swear that I'm on the square. More revealing signs of Illuminati cultists. Now, I gruesomely swear that I'm on the square. Remember, the Masons use a square and compass as the as part of the logo of their sign or their flag. Everywhere you go, you know, you'll find this logo, compass and square, with the letter G here in the United States, which represents God. Now, what the rest of us are non-initiates don't know is, well, what God are they referring to? And so far we have found that the God they're referring to is Satan, Lucifer, the devil. Now, a number of hand signs are used by the Illuminists to indicate their allegiance to their order and to demonstrate their knowledge that to divulge its secret shall bring gruesome and swift, perhaps fatal, retribution. When President Richard M. Nixon resigned the office of the presidency on August 9, 1974, he signaled the due guard and sign of a Royal Archmason. As the Nixon audio tapes since released by the Nixon Presidential Library clearly show, Nixon and his Prussian guard, White House Chief of Staff Robert Haldeman and top aide John Ehrlichman, plotted to thwart the power of the Jewish Illuminati media that poisons the mind of America to this day. And they also conspired to overthrow the elaborate FBI and intelligence network historically run behind the scenes by the Jewish-led Illuminati chieftains. Nixon knew what it was that he was risking, and he well knew that President John F. Kennedy's murder was orchestrated by the Jewish Illuminati with the backing of Zionist Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson and with the connivance of J. Edgar Hoover's mafia-infiltrated FBI and the Skull and Bones-run CIA. So Richard Nixon had been a close associate of David Rockefeller, and he had met privately with the Rothschilds a number of times. Nixon also had attended the notorious homoerotic occultic rituals of the Bohemian Club outside San Francisco. And even at that, as president, he had hoped to mount an offensive against the elite and to dislodge them from their position of awesome power in the United States. But instead, it was Nixon and his entourage who were dislodged, falling from grace and being ousted. Even though Nixon's so-called crimes, Watergate, were paltry compared to the colossal criminal treachery of predecessors like Wilson and Roosevelt and successors like Clinton and both Bushes. Now, Captain William Morgan in the 19th century suffered an even worse fate, being murdered in a Masonic ritual and his disfigured body dumped into a lake. Incensed by this outrage, John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States, in his classic exposure of the Masonic murderers called Letters on Freemasonry, minced no bones in declaring the Freemasons as Luciferian and as a grave threat to America. Well, in this section, we examine a few of penal or penalty signs and also signs given to communicate the message on the square. On the square is a phrase made common in the American lexicon by its frequent usage by Masons. And along the way, we shall note the Illuminist involvement of such infamous folks as the Russian mystic and master seducer Grigory Rasputin, former USA President Jimmy Peanut Carter, Cuban strongman Fidel Oddfellow Castro, and master mason and Illuminist thug extraordinaire Joseph Stalin, the half-Jew, who massacred some 50 to 60 million innocent people while heading up the Illuminati's experimental Bolshevik regime. And we'll also take a brief look at the hand sign of Illuminist Al Gore and some Confederate officers into Masonic skullduggery, Timothy McVeigh's Rancid F. It's the Rancid F.U. signal, and a few other choice hand poses of elite servants. Now remember, it was John Quincy Adams, the 6th President of the United States. He was a determined opponent of the secret society and fraternity of Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge, The question of Freemasonry and the controversy over its character has long been debated, but for John Quincy Adams, who was a writer, poet, faithful husband, patriot, former ambassador, and Secretary of State, the president, there was no question. The teachings and practices of the lodge, Adams asserted, are detrimental, noxious, and unfortunate. John Quincy Adams was persuaded that the Masonic lodges were a bane to society, and that they were evil and Luciferian. All right, flipping over here to the next chapter, chapter 12. Let's see now if I've got chapter 11 here. Let's see. There was one here on the X. There's the double-headed eagle. Hang on here a second. Now I'm going to see if I can find you the X story. The cross is very important in these occultic practices. And you'll see the sign of the cross. Crossed arms, crossed legs. You'll see crosses. It's called the mysterious X factor. In fact, as a child, you might have even said something like, "Cross my heart and hope to die." Where did that saying come from? It's occultic to the core. It's a part and parcel of witchcraft. And we teach these things to our children, and especially at Halloween. We teach our children here in Western Christian, the bastion, America, the bastion of Western Christian civilization. And then we hold up the Bible, and we tell people we are Bible-believing Christians. Practicing what? Witchcraft, which is condemned in the Scriptures over and over again. In fact, it's a capital felony. Like, you know, adultery, Sabbath-breaking, murder. Well, cross my heart and hope to die. It's the mysterious X factor, and the sign or the letter X has a very long history of use in the ancient mystery religions, in apostate Judaism, in Freemasonry, and in the occult. The Illuminati elite use it to this day to symbolize key phenomena and to mark significant events. This mysterious letter X seems to take on a wide and varied life of its own, with or without the secret aid of the elite sponsorship. Mark Houston of the Christian Intelligence Resource Network, in a letter to the author, detailed some of the many examples of the use of the letter X. For example, the well-known science fiction TV show, The X-Files. Pornographic movies are rated X. And the more sensational movies in the raw are called Category Triple X. Houston noted that we have the Microsoft Corporation creation of the Xbox, the movie X-Men. Off-brand products are called Brand X. And of course, there is the U.S. terrorist prison camp, Camp X-Ray, at Guantanamo, Cuba. Now, today's youth have been called Generation X. And a lot of folks are concerned about a planet or star reported to be speeding toward us called Planet X that has much occult significance. Houston asks about all the usages of X. Are these just strange coincidences, some type of mind control trigger, or is it a subliminal conditioning of some kind? Well, another friend, Kathy Creek, wrote and asked if I had noticed the many new drugs being released by pharmaceutical firms with either a V, Z, or an X in their name. And she mentioned an ad that she had seen for Clarinex, an allergy drug that had a little sun sign used to dot the letter I in Clarinex. John Myers, another astute friend interested in such topics, sent me a lengthy letter and included an excerpt from Arthur Edward Waite's reference book, A New Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. Myers wryly observed that, generally, things that are bad are X-rated. And he mentioned, too, the interesting use of the letter X in the RX of drugstores, the use of the four-letter abbreviated word X-mass to replace Christ-mass, and in fact that in Black's Lee Dictionary, it says that the sign or mark of X is sometimes made as a substitute for a man's signature on legal documents. And the continued use of the mysterious X abounds. Children at play can be heard to say, "Cross my heart and hope to die." In the Greek alphabet, the letter chi is denoted with the symbol X, and given the numerical designation of 600. Well, the numerologists say that triple X, then, would yield the number 666. Now, Black Muslim leaders obviously see X as a substitute name of great spiritual significance. Two very well-known Black Muslim leaders have been named Malcolm X and Louis X, names they chose for themselves. The latter, who was born Louis Eugene Walcott in 1933, in New York City, changed his name to Louis X after his conversion to Islam by Black Muslim leader Elijah Muhammad. Now, today he is known as Louis Farrakhan, and it is well known that Farrakhan is a 33rd degree Prince Hall Mason. Louis Farrakhan. Well, boys and girls, I've got to give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, the endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All right, we are reviewing the book Codex Magica by Tex Mars. Mars has written some 37 books on the conspiracy, or books related to it. This one here is like an encyclopedia, 1,000 photographs, 600 pages, well footnoted, indexed. He has done his homework. He could present this in a court of law. He's got the evidence, he's got the witnesses, and he's got the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence to prove his points. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of Codex Magica, and if you don't find it in your local bookstore or Barnes & Noble, or if there's some other book that you're having a problem finding, there's a bookstore online. They've got a physical location in Austin, Texas, with a phone number also. But, you know, if you're in California, a bookstore in Austin, Texas doesn't help you much. But they're online, and it's called www.bravenewbookstore.com. Bravenewbookstore.com. And they can find the book for you. If they can't find it for you, they'll do the best they can to tell you where you might find it. But I've had pretty good success. Now, they're a new store. They've just gone in the last year. They're located in Austin, Texas, 1904 Guadalupe in Austin, Texas. And the phone number is 866-516-6623. Again, that's 866-516-6623, Austin, Texas. Now, Tex Mars is pretty well known around the country, and I think that his books are pretty well accepted just about everywhere. Another location you might find this book would be in a Christian Bible bookstore. So you go to your Bible bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, used bookstore. Can't find it anywhere. Then go to Brave New Bookstore. All one word. Brave New Bookstore.com. Now, this X symbol, you know, these hand signals and hand signs have great meaning to the occult. The Messiah is reportedly having been crucified on a cross. It's called a solar wheel. And the cross, or the X, has many different forms. It can be a T with the cross arm at the very top, or it can be a T with a cross arm just down from the top. It can be in the form of an X, like a railroad crossing. And notice here, we use this word X, like brand X, or a X-rated movie, or something like that. But it goes further than that. In the occult, X as a symbol for the sun god, that is, the planet sun. According to Dr. C.J. Koster, head of the Institute for Scriptural Research in South Africa, X was the emblem of the Chaldean Babylonian sky god, and Koster says that X was an ancient symbol of the sun deity, and that the letter carried with it sexual connotations. In the old Semitic languages, X represented the cross. Freemasonry early on latched onto this letter exactly because of its paranormal significance as a sign of Lucifer, the solar sun god. The Masonic Lodge also uses X because of its sexual meanings and its Babylonian origins. Writing in the Scottish Rite Journal, the official journal of the Mother Supreme Council, 33rd degree Jim Tesner discussed the use of X in the ritual ceremony for the 17th degree, Night of the East and West. And Tresner, a 33rd degree Mason, emphasized that the 17th degree ritual is one of the most powerful and profound degrees of the rite. Here, said Tresner, we encounter raw spiritual energy, and we begin to glimpse the spiritual power which is available to the person who is able to access it. So X as a symbol of transformation. Tresner goes on to suggest that the X representing the Roman numeral 10 also symbolizes the 10 yods or manifestations of the Jewish Kabbalah's tree of life. And he notes that the candidate for the degree wears two cardons, one black in color, the other white, which symbolizes the duality of Mosaic doctrine. The fact that they cross each other, Tresner explains, suggests the unions of opposites or equilibrium. In crossing, says Tresner, they form an X shape. X, he observes, is an ancient symbol for transformation. This degree, Tresner concludes, provides a spiritual jolt or jump start in preparation for this transformation, the refinement and redefinition to come. And Tresner chooses his words very carefully and very, very deliberately. But Christians who have studied the book of Revelation will intuit and understand what he is hinting at. I believe he is telling the Masonic candidates that this degree in which the mark of X is prominent is to prepare them to wage war against Christians and to exalt their man-king as the events prophesied in Bible prophecy roll forward. Naturally, Tresner would probably deny this meaning, so I'll leave it up to you, dear reader, to discern for yourself what you think that it means. But those are his words. However, the Masonic author of the authoritative Richardson's Monitor of Freemasonry no doubt lets the cat out of the bag, so to speak, by detailing how during this ritual ceremony for the degree of Knight of the East and West, the sacred word is given to the assembled members of the lodge. That sacred word is a shocker. And it is Abaddon, A-B-A-D-D-O-N, Abaddon. Now, yes, Abaddon is the sacred word for the Masonic Knights of the East and West. And the Holy Bible reveals exactly who Abaddon is in Revelation 9:11. And here's the citation. It says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon." So here the Masons have taken a word, Abaddon, which is found in the scripture in Revelation 9:11, which describes who Abaddon is, and it's the angel of the bottomless pit, Satan the devil. In Richardson's Monitor of Freemasonry, it is revealed that following the announcement of the sacred word, Abaddon, the lodge drama for the fateful degree provides a demonstration intended to represent the end of the world. Now, one thing is for sure, the Masonic order uses X not only for the revelatory 17th degree of Knights of the East and West, but for many other things as well. In the Royal Arch Super Excellent Master's degree, the first sign given is the crossing of the hands over the breast or chest. This sign refers to the penalty assessed if any secrets learned are ever divulged. Then, in the ritual ceremony for the select master degree, the second sign is made by crossing the hands and arms just below the neck. then dropping them downward quickly. Again, this is a reminder of the disclosure penalty, which is to have your body butchered and quartered. In the ritual for the intimate secretary degree, the X pattern is employed, and Richardson's monitor of Freemasonry reveals what happens in the lodge. The brethren now fall, each on his own knee, and they cross their hands and hold them up so that the tomb of the right hand, the thumb of the right hand, touches the left temple, and the left thumb of the right temple. So this X, as tumbling cross and sex symbol, in ancient India, the X symbol was equated with the jewel phallus. Probably this is yet another reason why the Masonic Lodge adopted this symbol for many of their ritual activities. Masonry is, in fact, a deviant sex cult. Now, in her interesting encyclopedia called The Woman's Dictionary of Symbols, Barbara Walker calls the symbol the cross saltair, which means literally tumbling cross or a cross performing a somersault. In this sense, it is decidedly Antichrist in nature. Now, the Church of Scientology, which is a New Age church in its beliefs, has as its logo a traditional cross, vertical, integrated with an X, or cross saltair. This is understandable since Scientology is unquestionably non-Christian. X as a sign of death. Finally, as if to signify the somber, ghastly meaning of the letter X in Freemasonry, ritual pomp and circumstance. It should be noted that upon his death, when the departed Mason's body is given a Masonic funeral by the assembled brethren, with his intimate family or immediate family in attendance, the X again comes into play. The monitor of the work, lectures, and ceremonies of ancient craft masonry for the Grand Lodge of the state, or for the state of New York, in part describes the ritual and scene prescribed for funerals as follows. Quote, "The funeral honors are given by extending the hands toward the grave with the palms up, the brethren repeating in unison. To the grave we consign the mortal remains of our deceased brother. The arms are then crossed over the breast, the left above the right, the fingers touching the shoulders." And you'll find among the photos and illustrations in this section one of the horror novelist Stephen King, seeming to emulate exactly this funeral procedure of crossing your arms, the fingers touching the opposite shoulder. Is King, the master of death literature, in fact taking on the image of death, the Grim Reaper, or does King believe that this publicly displayed ritual by him confers on the famous novelist the raw spiritual energy mentioned by Masonic authority Jim Tressner, 33rd degree? Now, there's an Egyptian connection to all of this. The Egyptians, if you'll think about it for a moment, on all of their sarcophaguses, all of their coffins, did you notice that they have the arms crossed? The arms are crossed across the chest. That's where it comes from, the Egyptian connection. From What source do the Masons draw for their funeral symbolism of the X? Well, in my book, Dark Majesty, I explain the Egyptian connection. In ancient Egypt, the mark of X and the symbol of crossbones in the symbol of an X was very prominent in religious contests. You can find the X on the walls of a number of ancient Egyptian temples and pyramids. It is the sign of Osiris, the great sun god. The ancient pharaohs, when they were buried, had the legs crossed in the form of an X as a sign of devotion to Osiris. Today, as in ancient Egypt, Osiris, the sun god, is worshipped. Now the homage and veneration comes from the Masons and their fellow Illuminists. These confused and perverted men mistakenly believe that they are illumined, that they have been enlightened by their solar deity, the great architect Jahablan, or Lucifer. Jahablan, I guess it's J-A-H-B-U-H-L-U-N. Jahablan, or Lucifer. Notice here the satanic connection over and over and over again. There's no doubt about the satanic connection with Freemasonry, Rosicrucians, and etc. Now today, as in ancient Egypt, Osiris, the sun god, is worshipped. Now the homage and veneration comes from the Masons and their fellow Illuminists. These confused and perverted men mistakenly believe that they are illumined. And that's what Masonry is. It is a search after light. And over, they come back and they say, I am searching after light. I am searching after light. And when they get to the 30th degree, they find out what the search was. The search is to find out if you're a Luciferian and you are following Lucifer, and the answer is yes, you are. Now, this also spills over into everyday society. People don't think much about Halloween being witchcraft. It's just a fun day. It's time to have some parties and good times. It's good for the kids. And we can have some pumpkins, and we'll have some trick-and-treating or trick-or-treating and one thing and another. It's just harmful. Just harmless fun. The reality of it is, though, it is witchcraft, and we're training and teaching our children witchcraft, and they accept that witchcraft, and it gets to be heavy duty as we progress forward. All of which, by the way, is prohibited in Scripture, time and time again. So, what a grand surprise these wicked men have in store for them when Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, returns. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says that the opposers of Christ, that is, the leaders of the Illuminati and other hordes of rapt followers, shall be utterly destroyed by the brightness of his coming until that great and momentous day. The pitiful men of the Illuminists shall continue to wallow with each other in the mire and muck. They will continue communicating the sign of X, the sign of their silly, fanciful god, all the while cursing the darkness rather than lighting a candle. Men blinded for all of eternity by their rejection of the true light, the God of Abraham. Now here's a neat photograph. Here's Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain has a fortune of some $18 billion, and she has a crown with an X in its centrum. And this is photographed in the Majesty magazine, volume 25, August 2004. Here's another one. Ehud Barak, a Freemason chosen Prime Minister of Israel in 1999, with his wife, Neva. This is a very staged X, and also significant is Neva's earring, which has the emblem of the Masonic double-headed eagle. So this double-headed eagle now is the symbol of Germany. It's also a symbol for the occult, and if you'll remember, in World War II, the Nazis had this on the top of their flagstaffs, this two-headed eagle. Well, that's an ancient occultic symbol that comes from pagan Babylon, Assyria, and Egypt. Then it's been transferred to us today down through the Roman Empire and its successors. Just to point out, at the highest echelons, Queen Elizabeth, the Prime Minister Ehud Barak of Israel, just the tip of the iceberg, there are names in here that I thought were really interesting. For instance, Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Pat Roberts, the evangelist from the 700 Club, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City, Bill Clinton, former president, Yasser Arafat, look like, you know, here's these two implacable enemies. Arafat representing the Palestinians what was this guy's name now that made this famous accord with him? Yitzhak Rabin, I believe his name was. Yitzhak Rabin. Here's a picture of Gloria Steinem. Gloria Steinem making the sign of the X. Symbols galore adorn feminist Gloria Steinem's apartment decor in New York City. She's wearing a black outfit with a belt, a huge round sun-worshipping belt. And naturally, her hand sign is X. Now, 70-year-old Ms. Steinem, like so many chosen ones, is not at all what she seems. A former MS magazine reported with Illuminist handling and revealed or traveled widely in India. Gloria Steinem, her elitist role, fostered the anti-Christian culture destroying feminist movement. Her job is to destroy the family. What better way to do that than to put men and women in competition with one another? So she's done a marvelous job for her master, Satan. Now there's another part to the story. The part is called the Riddle of the Great Seal of the United States and the All-Seeing Eye of the Illuminati Serpent of Wisdom. The All-Seeing Eye. Take a look at the back of your dollar bill. And you'll see that on the dollar bill is this eye on top of the pyramid in the seal. Well, what's that all about? The CBS logo. When you watch the CBS Evening News, they'll have their logo on there. It's an eye. What is that all-seeing eye? Very important occultic symbol. And if you'll take a look at Exxon, that double X, and you look at the CBS logo, the all-seeing eye, throughout corporate business and industry, you will find these occult symbols, such as Shell. It's called Shell Oil. That's not a shell, that's a rising sun. And so that you wouldn't see a rising sun, they took the rising sun and put it in the form of a shell. These are all occultic symbols that send a message to all of the occultic followers that you and I don't know anything about. Hey, I'm about out of time again. We'll have to stop right here and we'll come back and we'll talk about this thing of the all-seeing eye next time. But meanwhile, you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, for more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.